We've been talking. This is, have you been learning anything from our series on the body of Christ at all? Are you able to take things home? Now, listen, in the body of Christ here, these things that we have been talking about, they are not for us to use against other people. Okay? These are not weapons that you can pull out at your own discretion and use against your brothers or sisters. No. These are things that you can use to help make you a better you. Okay? These are things that help me to be the best me that I can be. You follow? Sometimes when people have wronged us, we like to use the Word of God as a weapon against them, don't we? Well, the Word of God says, and we kind of set ourselves up on one of these stools, soapboxes, if you will, and we like to talk down to everybody else to make them understand that we are right. Well, that's not so much how the Bible displays the family of God acting. Right? So these are not weapons, let's make that very clear, to be used against our brothers and sisters. Thank you for cleaning that off, Barb. Yeah. Barb makes sure that our building is nice and clean for us, so she had to take it. Love you, Barb. Oh, goodness. Wow, I don't know if I've ever done that before. Some things get you excited. Woo. This is part four of our body, the body of Christ series. And I hope that you're taking some notes here. I hope that you're taking some things home that you can use. All right? Now listen to this quote. There's some quotes here. You know that there's a lot of things to be said about the body of Christ. All right? The Bible is just peppered with it, all right? We use pepper or salt as a seasoning. The Bible is salted. It is seasoned with scriptures over and over on how we are to act accordingly to one another. How are we to respect and honor each other and encourage each other in the family of God? We are not to tear each other down. Now listen to what this quote says. It says, as we mature spiritually, we exhibit a growing capacity to care for and appreciate one another in the body of Christ, regardless of our differences. Let me read that one more time. As we mature spiritually, we show a growing capacity to care for and appreciate one another in the body of Christ, regardless of our differences. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? You know, God is not a baker where he would create cookie-cutter Christians to where we all look alike, we all sound alike, we all dress alike, and you know what? Sometimes the church wants to make us like that. But that's people trying to make you look like each other. But in God's Word, no. We are celebrating the differences that we have. Each one of you and I are unique in the body of Christ. Each one of us brings a special uniqueness that no one else is able to bring. And you know what? God expects us to bring that to the body of Christ. Isn't that something? Rick Warren, great author and pastor, says, only you can be you. God designed each of us so that there would be no duplication in the world. According to the family of God, okay? No one has the exact same mix of factors that make you unique. That means no one else on earth will ever be able to, now listen to this, No one else on earth will ever be able to play the role that God planned just for you. Think about that. If you don't make your unique contribution to the body of Christ, it won't be made. It may be made in some other way, okay? But your unique contribution that God destined you to make to the body of Christ will not be made. Think about that. That's pretty interesting. In Ephesians, I hope you brought your Bibles today. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to connect you with one, get you one free of charge. Let us know, and we'll make sure you get one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Let's count those off, okay? Now, these are not necessarily in order. This is just a compilation of what we will get to in a second here. But now look at Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. How many is there? Five. This is considered, you may have heard the phrase, the fivefold ministry of the church. This is it, friends. This is how God is taking care of his church by this fivefold ministry. And if a church is lacking in one area, which happens all the time, all right, then it is lacking something that God intended for it to have. Thus, okay, now listen, thus the importance of the collective body of Christ. Not every church is going to have everything that it needs to be completely self-sufficient. God has made the body of Christ, the family of God, interdependent upon each other. Have you ever noticed that some churches are great in certain areas? You know, they have a personality that they're great in this area, or maybe our church has a certain personality. Okay, and there are some degree of this fivefold ministry, and that is very, very important. But to be able to be fully matured, to be fully having what God intended us to have in these fivefold ministries, the whole church needs to be dependent on the whole church. You follow? It's not good for Alabama Full Gospel Fellowship to be all by itself. It's necessary for the Lighthouse here at Alabama to be connected with other churches. The body of Christ. It's important. It's important. So let's continue in this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service. You see, friends, it's never intended to just stay with us. Have you ever seen Christians that they're not involved in anything? They stay to themselves. They're introverted in a sense, okay? That's not really the way that God intended it to be. Your Christian makeup is always connected to other believers in the body of Christ. We are supposed to be dependent upon each other. It is intended, in verse 12, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, may be encouraged, may be having a strong foundation until we all reach what? Unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And become what? Mature. Become mature. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You see, that's what God is looking for. Maturity and fullness in the body of Christ. And when we hold back something, when we hold back what God has given us to offer, the body is lacking in that area. All right? Maybe you have the gift of music. All right? And there are some of you here who do. If that gift is intended for you to hone that skill, to master your craft and to use it to do what? To bless other people and to bless God. Maybe you have a gift in childcare. Maybe you're really good with kids. And you are withholding that. You're not serving in any way in that capacity. And so the body is lacking in that way from what you have to bring in a unique sense. Okay? Tim Keller says, you were made for mutually self-giving. And what he means by that is giving yourself away. Giving away your gifts. All right? The Christian is always meant to move outward. All right? The love of Christ is always meant to move outward. You were made mutually for self-giving, other-directed love. So what you have, your love, your giftings, are all meant to go out and to bless the body of Christ. Self-centeredness destroys the fabric of what God has made. Self-centeredness destroys the fabric of what God has made. We are, in a sense, when we withhold our gifts, our love, our respect, our honor for each other, we are robbing other people, we are robbing the body of Christ, and we are robbing God. In the same way, if we withhold our finances, our tithes from God, we are robbing God of what is His and He deserves. That's what the Bible says. Romans chapter 14. In many cases, the church gets caught up in petty arguments. Okay? I know that's hard to believe. All right, the church is not perfect, friends. Whenever you have people involved in something, it's never going to be perfect. Because we are, in fact, imperfect people. We are all flawed. We are sinful people, though we have been saved by God's grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are still imperfect people. And yet, God chooses to use us in the body of Christ. Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. Without quarreling over disputable matters. Now listen. In some cases of the church, it is run like a business. Okay? Some parts of the church are run like a business. Okay? Some parts of the church are not run like a business, but there is authority in the church. There is a lot of administration that goes on in the church, a lot of planning, a lot of organization, and of course, a lot of prayer, even education, and things of this. So there are so many different facets that make up a healthy church. And if one of them is lacking, then that area of the church is weak. Okay? Now, when we have all kinds of different people from all walks of life that look different, that think differently, that with all kinds of different giftings, wouldn't you think there's bound to be a disagreement or two from time to time? Come on. It's to be expected. All right? However, it's not supposed to disrupt things. Okay? It's not supposed to cause division. We can't allow it to cause division. When we allow division to come in, we are giving the enemy a foothold in the door. Right? And we don't want to do that. 1 through 3. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. Why? For God has accepted them. Now, it's not saying here that what you eat over the other, that it's not saying here that vegetables are the best thing. That's not what it's saying. He's giving an example here to the church in Rome, a difference of opinion. He's giving an example of a difference of opinion. If you think that the chairs in the church ought to be a maroon color and somebody else thinks they ought to be a green color, okay, we have to find a common ground, all right? Do you know that there have been churches that have completely split over the color of the hymnal? Over the color of the hymnal, literally. We don't use hymnals here. All right, but a hymnal back in the day was a book of songs that we now we put them up on the graphics and stuff like the PowerPoint. All right? Or Easy Worship, as you would say. That's the program that we use. Yeah, Bill gets irritated when I say PowerPoint. It's not PowerPoint anymore. It's Easy Worship. All right? So there is a difference of opinion. The difference of opinion is not a problem. The problem is when we allow that difference of opinion to divide us. We cannot allow that. We cannot allow that division in the body of Christ. It's not worth it. Down to verse 5. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. He's saying, it's okay. It's okay to think that the church chairs ought to be green. It's okay to think that the church chairs ought to be maroon. But don't let it come between you. Don't let it divide you. Don't give the enemy a foothold. Down in verse 19. He continues in this dialogue giving examples of differences, but it's all based off of verse 1, quarreling, without quarreling over disputable matters. Don't quarrel about it. It's not important, okay? It's not, let's put it this way. It is important, but it's not important when it comes to division. We should not allow it to divide us. Okay. Verse 19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Edification is what? Lifting up, building up of the body, the family of God. All right. So let us, now notice what he says here. Make every effort. Make every effort. Over and over in the New Testament, you hear that. Make every effort. If at all possible, make every effort to live in peace with one another. That means sometimes, friends, peace has to be pursued. You notice that? Peace has to be pursued. And sometimes peace has to be injected by someone. Doesn't that sound weird? All right. Sometimes we need to be the guy that's injecting peace into the situation. And remember what we talked about last week, and that was we can't be the one that says, okay, I'm going to take the higher road. I'm going to be the mature one, and I'm going to be the peacemaker. And so, in a sense, we are using something that God has told us to do, to be the peacemakers. We are using that as a weapon to make us look better than everybody else in our families or the body of Christ. Don't allow differences of opinion or belief to divide you. Okay? Don't allow these things to divide you. Now, true, there is some things that are non-negotiable. Jesus is the Son of God. Non-negotiable. Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah. Non-negotiable. Amen. Jesus died on the cross for my sin and yours. Non-negotiable. Jesus was put in a grave for 3 days and God raised him from the dead. Non-negotiable. That's right. The color of hymnals. Negotiable. The color of chairs. Negotiable. What your praise team uses to worship, all negotiable. Whether you use hymnals or graphics, easy worship, negotiable. The songs that you sing, also negotiable. Negotiable. Romans, let's go to verses 10 through 13. That same chapter, Romans 14. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Here we are again. The Lord is saying, don't judge each other. That's my job. It is not your job to point out all of your brothers and sisters' faults. That's not your job. Okay? That's just going to cause trouble. All right? Let's continue. Or why do you treat them with contempt or hatred or disrespect? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. And it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Each of us will give an account of ourselves to God when we stand before Him on Judgment Day. And that will be a great and terrible day. You hear me? That will be a great and terrible day when we stand before God and have to give an account of ourselves to Him. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Therefore, in verse 13, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind to not put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Make up your minds, friends. You know what helps? To make up your mind before it happens. Make up your mind before it happens so that when it happens, and it's gonna, you have planned on how you will respond. You have planned in advance how you will respond. Second Timothy, let's turn to Second Timothy chapter 2. verses 23 through 26. You know, it's kind of odd, isn't it, that We have specific instructions. God has given us specific instructions, and it's very detailed. Very detailed on how we are to act to each other. Don't have, in verse 23, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Yeah. Foolish and stupid arguments. How about that? That's pretty direct, wouldn't you say? Well, what would constitute as foolish and stupid arguments? You can fill in the blank on it. And that's a pretty big blank. Okay? Foolish and stupid arguments. That's pretty good. So don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they produce quarrels. They keep things going. All right? Verse 24, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Don't let that be you. Don't allow the devil, as it says here, to take you captive to do his will. Pointing out somebody else's faults, judging them, causing division and dissension over disputable matters. No, that is not for the family of God. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, a few books back here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. You with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. That is God's will for the church. That is God's will. That there be no division amongst us, but that we be perfectly united in mind and thought. And we talk about that Amish plow team. And I know that I've said this before, but that Amish plow team, those horses are pulling in the same direction. What would happen if we were all pulling in different directions? We wouldn't be accomplishing anything. All right? How much more work? How much more effort? Time? How much more money? How much of all of it? And how displeasing that is to God. And what a Hippocratic show for people that are not Christians. Do you follow that? We tell them we are to be showing love, and yet we are showing division. We are showing argumentativeness. We are showing all kinds of things that are not to be in the family of God. So how do we accomplish these things when our natural, normal reaction is maybe anger or hurt, okay, or frustration? How are we to respond to these things? How do we show love to somebody that we disagree with? You know, when the pastors of PACT get together, we don't always agree. But we make sure that we are in unity. We make sure that we are in unity. We don't always agree. Sometimes one thinks that something ought to be done this way. Another thinks that ought to be done that way. And that's okay. Because you know why? It makes us better. It makes us really think about what's important here. What is our goal? What are we trying to do? Who are we trying to reach? And in these efforts, we have committed ourselves to each other on a personal level. I love those guys, and they love me, and I know it. I feel it. I sense it. And you know what? When I'm down, they're encouraging me. They're sending me texts, and vice versa. On Sunday mornings, there is a barrage of texts going around amongst the pastors, encouraging each other as we bring the gospel message to our churches. Isn't that crazy? All over Orleans County, Genesee County, they kind of intermix. And we're firing off texts to each other, encouraging each other in the faith and as we bring forth the message. And if there's a need, and it happens every week, there's always somebody that's got a need or somebody that needs prayer, they'll send out a text. And man, we're all over it. We are committed to each other personally because we know what really matters. Differences of opinion are going to happen. It's bound to happen. And you know what? It's supposed to happen. Okay? But that doesn't mean we allow it to divide us. No. We don't allow those things to divide us. We are family. We are the family. We are the body of Christ. With many, many parts, but all part of the body of Christ, of which He is the head, the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's turn back to Ephesians. Chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life. All right? So this is pre-Christ. All right. Before you gave your life to Christ, before you became a Christian or a follower of Christ, you know, Christian is barely ever mentioned in the Bible. All right. Really, that just means a follower of Christ. All right. Follower of Christ. All right. So, in regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self. So you were taught with these things to put off the person that you used to be. All right? Spiritually, sometimes we call it the old man or the old woman, where we have become somebody new. All right? When we are baptized, this is a great signification and a very, very important thing in the life of a follower of Christ, in the life of a believer. Because it is a signification, it is an outward expression of an inward decision that we have made to follow Christ and to no longer be the person that we used to be spiritually. Does that make sense? Okay. And so, let's continue here. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. All right, so he's saying that the person you used to be is corrupted by deceitful or evil desires. He continues, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. Friends, how do we make this happen? How do we make ourselves love each other when we're angry at each other at times? Where does that come from, that we are supposed to love somebody when we're in disagreement with them? This is it right here. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. And to put on the new self created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. This is God's plan for every believer. To think differently. Not the way that you used to think. The way that I used to think is nothing like the way that I think now. The things that I used to say is not what I say anymore. The things that I used to do, it's not me anymore. The new Russ is a follower of Christ. An imperfect follower of Christ that is blood bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. A new attitude of your minds. Put on a new self. Put on the new Bernie. Put on the new Betty. Put on the new Steve. Put on the new Bill. A follower of Jesus Christ. Don't think the way that you used to do. Don't sound the way you used to do. It's still going to be you. But it's a different you. It's a new, it's a better, it's a new and improved you. Because of what Christ has done in you and for you. And God help us in spite of you. Amen? Sometimes that's the way it is. God, work in me. Work through me. And sometimes, if necessary, work in spite of me. Because I don't measure up. I fall short. The Bible says in Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. Would you stand with me today? God is teaching His people how to be in one accord. God is teaching his family, his children, how to work in unity. You know, there's a quote that says, the kingdom of God is not going to be advanced by our church becoming filled with men or with people. The kingdom of God is not going to be advanced by filling our churches with people, but by people in our church becoming filled with God. The kingdom of God is not going to be advanced by filling our churches with people, but it's going to be advanced by the people being filled with God. Brothers and sisters, it is God's desire that we show love to one another. I'm going to close with this scripture. And it's in Philippians. You don't need to turn there. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. And it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. This is Paul talking here. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. God is using us, wants to use us, to fulfill His purpose. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know what that means? Any of you study philosophy here at all in your college? No, few of you. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. All right.
Hey.
No, that's good. That's a good
Socrates
thing.
Socrates said, never mind.
I'll tell you, I hated philosophy when I started. I hated it. But it has taught me to think deeper and taught me to be a critical thinker, to not just accept what people are feeding me. And in today's world, that's really, really important. Kierkegaard, you may have heard that name, Kierkegaard, wrote a book on this very scripture. It's called Fear and Trembling. But this scripture is just saying, work out your salvation because you are imperfect, a fallible person. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling before God. Don't judge somebody else because you're not perfect yourself. Recognize your imperfections and your need for the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And do your very best to promote peace, to promote unity in any way that you can. Pursue it. Seek after it. Make up your mind, as that scripture said. Make up your mind beforehand so that you know how to respond when disagreements and adversity happens to you. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Lord, we recognize our own sinful nature. We recognize our propensity to serve ourselves and to promote ourselves and to seek what makes only ourselves happy. But Lord, in your word, you declare it, you command it, that we are to show love to each other. And you said, by this, all others will know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Help us to show that genuine love. Help us to respond with peace. Help us, Lord, to be peace pursuers, to seek after that which brings about peace. We pray your blessing upon our church, Lord Jesus, here at the Lighthouse. We pray your favor upon us. We pray for all of the churches that are connected in this area, Lord, through PACT or through any relationships. Lord, we pray your blessings upon them. We pray that you would help us to move in unity. And we pray a mighty move of your Holy Spirit in this area. We pray for the fruit of the kingdom of God to be evident in this area. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.